control the pilot. Ready? Ready? R for ruminant. Ready for last minute cockpit check.
Yes, okay.
Log Actil, 5 milligrams.
Log Actil, 5 milligrams, check.
Valium, 10 milligrams.
Valium, 10, check.
Halo, peridol, 5 milligrams.
Which ones, please?
Little white ones. What for white?
What for white? The white ones. Okay, check.
Phenobarbital, 5 milligrams.
Check.
Disipel, 5 milligrams.
Check.
Glass of water.
Check.
Our Father, which art in heaven, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa.
Are we ready? Okay, it is Wednesday, November 11th, maybe 10th, let's say the 11th,
and so Osborne.
This is
2009.
Martyrs of the Martian Madmen.
Okay, that's the last time you do the intro. I tried to give you a chance here.
I did the intro. I just didn't know the name of the podcast that I'm on. And so introduce
it. Script for next time.
You've never gotten up to introduce
he
somebody.
He did the intro. He just did it all.
To do his speech.
Wow. All
right. Forgot their name?
It's episode one, Minions of the Monster Master. We've got a new host with us tonight, and one host did not make it. So we like to welcome fresh back from Delaware, Biscuit. Hey, Biscuit, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are great. All right, first of all, we're going to go around the horn. Who listened to the podcast?
I listened to the podcast.
The whole podcast?
No, because I was there. I didn't need to listen to what I heard already.
Fair enough. So. Okay.
Let me take pictures of
Biscuit did.
He enjoyed it.
Ian, what are your thoughts?
Felt like I was in the room.
Okay. You know, you were in it briefly.
I heard.
Yeah, it said your name and everything. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
He said his whole name,
birthday,
social security number.
Made sure we let everybody know he was out of town, so they want to go rob his house. That's fun.
Put those naked pictures of him on the website. What's that website address?
MinionsMonsterMaster.blogspot.com.
There you go.
So we've got Biscuit with us. I'm Hero.
I'm Tebow.
No, you're Gyro.
Gyro.
Lil Gyro.
Little Gyro.
You don't even complain about him not knowing the name of the podcast. You don't even know your own name.
Well, it's kind of a running gag. And, of course, the curmudgeon is Duck Sauce.
Duck Sauce.
All right. We're also going to go around the horn and see what everybody's been working on in the wild, woolly world of geeking out. We'll start with Biscuit, since you're new. What have you done since last time you sat at this table, geek-wise?
I've painted some 40K. I've drawn my character for Rogue Traders. Hard to, anyway.
Yeah? Biscuit is kind of our resident artist.
I read Mouse Guard a little bit more to get more acquainted with
it. Yeah, what'd you think of Mouse Guard?
He's nodding his head.
Yeah. You know, I feel a little like Chris Tucker and Bruce Willis in Fifth Element at the very beginning. At the, you know, he's trying to get him on the radio. He's like, so tell me, my man, you feel big in this world? And he's like, sure. So we'll work on that. All right, so you painted some 40K. What'd you paint? More orcs?
More orcs.
Awesome. And reading Mouse Guard, that's always good. T-Bone?
T-Bone's done nothing.
We've done something.
Absolutely nothing related to gaming.
No computer games.
Yeah, I played a little...
Lies.
A little Dawn of War a bit.
What army are you playing in Dawn of War?
Have to say my favorite army is the Chaos.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Chaos or Orcs. I really enjoy playing the Orcs, too.
Oh, is this the original Dawn of War, not Dawn of War 2?
Winter Assault, which I think is Dawn of War.
Dawn of War 2 has Chaos coming.
So, I was actually today playing a little Neverwinter Nights.
Wow, old school.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. So any, that's what I've been doing.
Any reading? Yeah. Any books?
No. All
right. Duck Sauce, what do you got?
Last time we were here, before we did the podcast, we actually did some painting. I finished up my Reaper Hill Giant, who's awesome.
Great looking model.
painted some skeletal archers and some Egyptian kind of themed objective markers.
Oh, cool.
I forget what you call them, but it was kind of the big faces they'd store the organs in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Organ face storage jars. Containers. What'd you say?
They were jars.
Yeah.
And of course, you're getting those ready for Song of Blade and Heroes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I popped the cherry on my copy of Space Hulk.
I'm so glad you did that. I was worried you were going to eBay that, or...
Yeah, it did cross my mind, but I got it open and played a game with my son.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's 8 years old. He played Gene Stealers. I played Terminators, and he was very scared of my shooting. He was always hovering around the corners.
Yeah?
When he had 4 or 5 blips, I said, son, you just need to run everything you've got straight down the hall, you know, into my guy with Overwatch.
Yeah.
And he really got into it, you know, because after I killed like the third one, of course my storm bolter jammed, and he ganked me, and then he was all in my face and killed me.
I can teach him how to play Tyranids. It's very simple. Go
run.
Eat.
Yeah.
Run. Eat.
Yeah, so he was pretty stoked he beat me, and I wasn't going too easy on him. I did the first mission, the suicide mission, mm-hmm. I think they called it. I played it a few times solo, and I thought that it was pretty hard for the Space Marines. So.
Well, it's slanted towards them. But they also said it's where you get the most fun out of it, because the Gene Steals are almost on autopilot, but the Space Marines, you actually have a little bit. Now, did you guys use the timer?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah, the timer's supposed to be like a whole other...
Well, I could have, but my turns were going pretty quick, because I only had 5 Space Marines in the mission. So.
Hmm.
I've been doing some reading, more on Dark Heresy than I have Rogue Trader, because tonight it was kind of a surprise.
Surprise?
Yeah.
Well, we were going to do something, but an impromptu Rogue Trader to get the fire started. That's pretty cool.
And painted up my... we're getting ready to do a 15mm... France 1940 game.
Yeah. No, I hate the French.
I know it.
But I love Paris.
Yeah.
The food's great.
But I'm getting ready to send them off to Phil Gregg in Sri Lanka, it looks like, to get some figures painted. So I did my samples for my Germans, did 10 15 millimeter figures yesterday.
Well, I thought this was a tank battle.
Well, it was a battle which involved tanks, which was, you know, kind of rare at the time.
Now, there's another Sri Lanka service where you can get your figs through them at a discount, and then when they show up at your door, they're already painted, and you didn't have to ship anything to them.
Yeah.
They don't give us anything for the show, so we can't say their name.
Yeah.
But
I looked at their website. Yeah. They don't really do a lot of historicals. I mean, their emphasis is more on 40K.
Yeah.
I guess Privateer Press and their figures.
Well, that's cool. All right, well, you've been busy. Well, I have Don't Faint. I started... the Choctaw. 2 years ago, Andy gave me 10 40mm French Indian War Choctaws, and I've started them. So that's been my project. I worked forever on their skin tones. And I just now started their leather bags and stuff. They're coming together pretty well.
So in other words...
Somewhat of a Native American color.
I'm running the Dark Heresy game.
Mm-hmm.
Running Rogue Trader game. Right. Been playing Song of Blade and Heroes. So I've been painting up fantasy. Playing that.
So why am I now painting French anymore? Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, what else? I'm doing something else. Anyway, whatever. You know, now... Tooling around to my website. Remember I did where I said my son did the Viking book?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brian Cantwell comes along. He's like, oh, yeah, we're painting Vikings. Well, I bought Vikings for Song of Blade and Heroes. I bought, like, one big monster Viking to do the Northmen for Sartera.
Why is he painting Vikings?
Him and Bob were talking about it, and they wanted to do that. Actually, I've been thinking about doing Vikings forever.
Yeah.
And War Games...
this is really supposed to be about what I'm working on right now.
they're doing the cheap Vikings, so now I got to paint Vikings, and now you're going to start doing the 40mm French and Indian War I got to go back and paint that too.
I'm just painting them to do it. Now I'll get in on the Vikings thing because
I know you would.
The Games Workshop, you get the Lord of the Rings plastic box of the Rohirrim guys. You get 24 plastic dudes for like $20, and they're like a true 28mm. They look great. Those are Vikings. Or are they doing, like, historically correct Vikings?
Well, I think they're doing historically correct.
How guys will have beards and axes? They might even be dwarves.
You need to look at the War Games factory stuff, though.
Yeah.
Because it's probably even cheaper. You could buy a sample of 8 figures for $5.
That's cool.
And that includes options like 12 different heads.
Well, that's good for Song of Blade Heroes right there.
Yeah.
Well, I've started the Choctaw. I also put together 20 Imperial Guard / Tau human auxiliaries. And I thought these guys came out pretty well. I used plastic Bretonian heads and Cadian bodies with Catachan arms. And then I found some old one-piece Bretonian archers, which I cut off at the waist. So their lower torsos have like that medieval skirt, which I'll probably paint up as tartan. So they came out all right. I was thinking we could kind of use them also as the troopers for our rogue trader ship. Because, you know, they're Imperial Guard, but they're very...
They're not Imperial Guard.
Well, yeah, they're outside the box.
They're criminals. They're thugs.
So I put those guys together, and then, you know, I went up to Rush's for the whole weekend full of gaming.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that.
It was a lot of fun. We played a lot of games. I got to play a game of Mouse Guard, which is great. I ran a game of 316, which nobody at the table had ever heard of before, so they loved it. I think they loved it, I don't know. We played a game of Spirit of the Century, which is something we need to start playing here again. And I got to bring my character. So Alterac kind of wandered into the adventure. And it was a huge table. There were 7 players for that Spirit of the Century game. It was really neat seeing it through the eyes of a new DM.
Who ran it?
I don't know his name.
Okay.
Alterac got naked at some point.
Yeah. And he got to bed a few scullery maids.
I don't swing that way in my games.
No. But this was great because he had pre-generated all the characters. So you had the Asian martial artist, and you had a true African Zulu jungle lord, you know, that kind of stuff. But he also had an automaton.
I saw that.
Yeah, based off, he said he got the idea from the Penny Arcade. You know, they have the noir cop thing.
Are we allowed to talk about Penny Arcade on here?
Sure, they're awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
But a couple of characters that didn't make the cut, there was a Century Club member from the year 2000-something that got sent back in time. I thought that was cool. And then there was another one, but I thought the robot was neat. So I got to play that.
So when we made Alterac, though, we dropped the talents.
Mm-hmm.
So did you come up with talents for Alterac or just play without him?
I played without him, and...
Did you feel you were at a disadvantage?
Big disadvantage.
Really?
Yeah. These guys were, I think the highest roll I saw on the night was like a 13 success. The, whatever it was called, the talents, were off the hook. They all had a full load of talents, and all their talents augmented their skills, and they were rolling for successes, easily getting 7s and 8s, easily getting 9s. Like I said, the highest one of the night was like a 13 or something. I was like, holy cow, you know, because 7 was the limit for us. So I think we should maybe revisit talents a little bit.
I think we just did it to keep it simple. And
now, I had no talents at all, and I totally held my own, which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way I see it is it's kind of like how you scale the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, if you have opponents that you need 11, 12s, and 13s to beat, you got to have talents. If you don't have talents, just scale the opponents down a little bit.
Well, the bet
flavor wise, I think that you get the feast of the deadliest style rolls.
Yeah, you get some flavor. Really awesome. Well, near the end game, we were in this like big German hangar, and they had like this lightning machine, and you know these zeppelins were exploding all this. So, me, the other jungle lord, and the Asian martial artist, we all hit the ground running, and there were 24 thugs in front of us. And in the first round of combat, we took out 22 of them. So it was pretty awesome. I think the martial artist rolled like an 11. I got an 8. The other guy got like a 12.
So did you... were they all like one-point minions?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
See, a lot of times I've done 2 and 3-point minions.
It was cool. Big old game of big old weekend of gaming. It was fun. You know, we played a bunch of other stuff. Well, I played that Zombies game finally. The little plastic guys.
Yeah.
And you lay out the tiles. I love that game. I'm going to have to pick it up.
I played that at Historicon a couple of years ago. I liked it.
It was good. It was very simple.
Did you make it to the helicopter?
No, we were playing the fourth one where we were in the woods. I mean, it was all open territory. It was basically Evil Dead 2. We had to get to the cabin where the Necronomicon was, recite the words, and, pull the rift. And also, my last one, pulled a family game night, like official family game night, turned off the TV and everything, got snacks out, and the only game we really had that was accessible for me and my family was Carcassonne. So we sat, played three-player game Carcassonne, got my wife to play, you know, non-gamer wife.
Cool.
So that's phase one of getting her...
Yeah, going back, I did the same thing. I guess on Saturday, we went down to the new game store here in town, organized play. I emailed it out, but yeah, they're a pretty nice place.
I didn't respond, but it looked good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of on the small side, but, you know, it's not a dump.
Yeah.
It's nicely done on the inside, and... You know, the assistant was a young girl, but, you know, she was a normal person, you know, who could actually converse with you and talk to my kids and was real pleasant. My daughter picked up Martian Flux.
Oh, yeah,
you're
right
into the Flux games.
I've seen you carry the deck around.
Yeah, it's real simple. So the game starts. The only rule is draw one card, you play one card.
And then the rules come out on that.
The cards you play provide more rules. They provide objectives. And the whole deal with Martian Flux, it's Martian themed. You're playing Martians trying to take over the Earth. And you've got pathetic humans, which, you know, they can attach to you and keep you from winning, or the army. And you're trying to, maybe get... certain cards that represent something very Martian themed. Like, if you can get... you get the goal cards. So, like, one goal might be the city, right? So, or keeper. The goal might be target Amsterdam. So, the Martians are going to destroy Amsterdam. Well, if you get the city and the canal, that's Amsterdam, and you win the game. If you've got those two cards. Or you get the city and Mars, and it's the cities of Mars that you win. So, it's a pretty cool theme. Kids loved it.
Now, did they have a copy of Spirit of the Century there?
Boy, they had a lot of stuff. I wouldn't say about anything. They did have Spirit of the Century. They had 316.
I may have to go pick it up. 316 is a great... If you haven't picked up 316, everybody should own that game.
They had Aegon. They had Alpha and Omega. They had Colonial Gothic.
I don't even know that one.
Yeah, they had a lot of indie games. Colonial Gothic is... kind of like, I guess, kind of Cthulhu-ish set in colonial America.
Now, T-Bone, Biscuit, jump in at any time.
I got nothing to add. Right. Sorry. But I will say, mentioning the Necronomicon, I have been reading up on my Lovecraft, which I had actually never read until about a month ago, and now I've read quite a few of his stories.
Yeah?
Cool.
It's a little it's dated but good. I mean, the verbiage is, you know, obviously dated, but I mean, really, look at you know, it's weird because I've been reading a lot of Robert E. Howard, and it is crazy how much of the Lovecraft mythos are in all the old Conan stories. I mean, just today I was reading number 4 in the Ace series. They're talking about the god Dagon and how the Dagonians and all this stuff were from the Elder World, and it's very Cthulhu.
I'm not that much on it, but I've seen a lot of back and forth between the two. I mean, my understanding is, you know, they were peers and were in correspondence with each other for some portion of their life.
My understanding is the two of them were slightly touched in the head.
I believe that too.
But I'm glad they were.
No, it's been very, very enjoyable to read. A little spooky, too. I was surprised.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff is like, oh, I know where this is going. I've seen this before. But the reason why you've seen it before is because Lovecraft was the first one to write it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's like reading Lord of the Rings. It's like, okay, you read something like, oh,
that's so ho-hum, but oh, wait a second, this is the first time it's ever been used.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the timeline, though. I might give Howard a little bit more credit than I used to over Tolkien for some of the fantasy stuff.
Howard who?
Robert E. Howard, the Conan guy.
Yeah. When did you write?
It was in the 30s.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. I think he was a peer of Lovecraft.
When did Tolkien write his books?
30s?
No. Post-World War II, 50s and 60s.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was earlier than that.
No, I think that's right. I've been reading Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
The Princess of Mars. That's story time to the kids.
Oh, the John Carter stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which they really seem to be enjoying it.
Huh. Well, the last piece of news, I guess, is Minions of the Monster Master are now officially on iTunes. So open up your iTunes. You can go under, your search window. Look up Minions of the Monster Master. We also have our first customer review. Now remember...
Oh yeah, we need to always read out our reviews.
We will always read out reviews on the podcast.
What does the review say?
It's a 5-star podcast from somebody called The Gonk.
Hmm.
And it's a short one. It just says, Duck Sauce is dead sexy.
All right.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I'm sure that's a cute girl out there somewhere.
I'm sure it is. But
nobody tell my wife.
Pretty nice. Now, you know, another thing, we've set up the blog site, Blogspot, whatever. And is anybody else surprised to have 9 followers on there?
Oh, I didn't catch that.
We got 9 followers now, and...
Who are you people?
Why are you... no, that's fine.
But thank you. Who are you? Thank you.
Well, the first one is BG. That's it, just BG. Looks like probably came to us by way of 40K. We've got the next one. My computer's not the newest. It's going a little slow. Wow, it's going really slow. Ragados. Check out his link. Raggy's Painting Progress. Looks like a nose and a dog. It might not be a nose, though. But, yeah, you know, a lot of these might have come from my site, which I won't shamelessly plug anymore.
You might as well. You're a sponsor of the show.
I am a sponsor. It's Covian. Or Lieutenant Covey, and I don't know if that's a big I or a little L. I got a couple of links for him or her. The Lay of Yish and Not Yet Done. I think Not Yet Done is the mantra of all miniature painters. Shelexi. No, she's actually from my blog. I featured her a while back. She does a lot of War Machine stuff. Very cool. And even if we do kind of suck, she always has a nice word to say. Brother Vizlani, looks like another Space Marine player. And then we've got BJ. BJ is a Black Templar Sister Battle player, and very cool.
Hey. Hi there.
And then we've got me, T-Bone, and Duck Sauce, which kind of pad the ranks.
Is that something that you can put on the computer?
Yes,
how
it
are
is.
You? Have a brownie.
Oh,
hey. Have a brownie.
Hello.
We're recording,
hello.
By the way.
I'm gonna wait on that. I bet you had 5 pieces of pizza.
Yeah. Cake, we're recording, by the way. We're live.
We are live. So, what'd you think of Family Game Night? I was talking about it earlier.
Carcassonne rocks. Yes.
Wow, that's quite an endorsement. Yes. Who won that game?
I did, actually.
Yeah. Who came in second?
Isabella did.
Yeah. Who lost?
Well, that would be you.
Yeah, me.
Yeah, me and mommy went all the way around.
The podcast. Okay, hello. We're paused.
So hopefully that recorded. That would really suck.
That whole time?
Yeah. Hey guys, we're going to have to redo that session.
And then solid light means it is recording.
Yeah. Yeah, we're now recording.
Okay, awesome. So you may notice this episode 1 of Minions... is quite abbreviated compared to the last session.
As the last technical difficulties.
The last 2.5 hours we thought it was recording, it was not. With professional sound equipment, you have to hit the record button twice.
Which is unfortunate because it was awesome.
It's
probably better for the world that we didn't record it because it would have rocked your mind.
We took out another rogue trader, we stole a ship, we killed their crew. It was a lot of fun. So, No, hey, that's why this is episode one. It's a learning curve. And, wow.
We'll default it to episode 0-2B or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is 0-1.
Episode
0-A. That's episode 1. It happens. But episode 2 will be longer.
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully T-Bone and Founder will be there.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.